beneath the skies for amber. Well, this is Arthur Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you that views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our colleagues. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But we ask you to hold your calls because we have with us right now on the line Constance Cumby. Hi, Constance. How are you doing?
Afternoon, Stan. I'm doing fine.
Well, of course, Constance Cumby, of course, is a lawyer, but she is also a political observer. She's written extensively on the New Age movement. Her book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, is a classic expose of the influence of the occult in modern-day society and certainly introduced me to the dark side back in the mid-1980s. And what year was that book written?
I wrote most of it in 1981. It was released in 1983.
Well, of course, it had a profound impact on the thinking of a lot of people in this country. And, of course, that was the X factor. I mean, obviously, there was something besides communism and the great foundations and the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderberger and the Trilateral Commission that was behind what was going on. And of course, Constance introduced me, and I'm sure millions of other Americans, to that. And if you haven't read her book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, why, we do carry that as well as tape sets on the pagan agenda. We even have a pagan agenda special, which you need to get and understand, of course, the spiritual aspect of what we're up against. But in recent years, of course, Constance has been monitoring a man named Javier Solana. And I'll never forget hearing Bill Clinton say, and I think whether it was when we were going into Bosnia or going into Yugoslavia, into Serbia, getting up before the American people and saying, we're about to ready to commit the troops. And he said, well, I want you to know that I agree with Javier Solana. In other words, Bill Clinton wasn't making the decisions. The decision had been made by Javier Solana when the President of the United States was just sort of following along. Do you remember that?
I remember that distinctly. He said, I agree with Javier Solana's decision to do this.
Which was that?
And nobody said, who's Javier Solana?
And, of course, the thing is that you're not supposed to know who Javier Solana is. But, of course, we have, fortunately, Constance, who's keeping an eye on him. If you go up on Google and look up Javier Solana, you'll go down through all the names there. And, of course, one of the names under his website is Constance Cumby. Because, of course, she's keeping an eye on him and writing about him, trying to get the American people to realize that this man, who, of course, works behind the scenes, a lifelong Marxist, is one of the most important men in the world today. And the fact you haven't heard of him is simply a reflection of the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. So why don't you pick up the story and tell us what's going on, Constance?
Well, Javier, Stan, I guess I have Javier on the brain, he generally pronounces it, the most various commentators have pronounced it Javier, the correct pure Spanish pronunciation would probably be Javier. Solana, but he pronounces, I've heard him himself pronounce it Javier, so he's probably kind of Americanized it. Or a blend of Spanish and American English. I discovered Javier Solana on November 22 of 1995, and he had done some significant things just 2 days before I discovered him. And on November 20th, 1995, with a full power of attorney from the European Union and the Western European Union, a 10-nation military federation that had spawned both NATO and the European Union itself, he had negotiated and executed an extensive treaty of association between the European Union and Israel.
I'm going to have to interrupt you. We'll be right back here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Constance Cumby, author of the book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. And if you haven't read it, you really need to, because it is the primer, of course, on the world occult movement, and, of course, informed literally millions of Americans about the New Age movement, and, of course, all of its many, many ramifications, and how this ties into the ruling elite, and, of course, the people who really control the world today. But right now, we're going to be talking with Constance about Javier Solana, and of course Javier is certainly one of the most significant people in the entire world. I mean, he at one time certainly was in charge of the NATO army, wasn't he?
He was in charge, solely in charge of NATO. He was given exclusive NATO power, much more than the average Secretary General of NATO, and he was given that power on January 30th, 1999. When the bombs fell over Yugoslavia, he and he alone got to say when they started and when they stopped. And he ordered Wesley Clark to intensify the bombing against even some of Wesley Clark's better inclinations, as detailed in his book. And he's been given more powers than any Secretary General of NATO ever had.
And, of course, we mentioned earlier, some of our listeners may not have heard that, but when Bill Clinton was going to announce that we were going, of course, to commit ourselves and our troops as far as Yugoslavia was concerned, he went before the American people and said, and I want you to know that I made this decision because I agree with Javier Solana.
He didn't even say, I made this decision. It was incredible. Most Christian Americans were in church that Sunday night. I had a bad migraine that day and was home. And he stood there and said, he never said, this is what I think we should do, this is what we think we should do, or even this is what the heads of the world community think we should do. Instead, he said, I agree with Javier Solana's decision to do this.
I think you're absolutely right. That's what he did say. But, and, of course, I mean, why is the President of the United States committing troops and agreeing with somebody that nobody in America has ever heard of, or most people have never heard of? So pick up the story.
There were some who had heard of him. The Pope and the Eastern Orthodox patriarchs were dismayed about the bombing and the destruction, and they sent emissaries to Brussels to ask if they could please intervene and try to mediate a peace, particularly between the two Easters, because the Orthodox Easter is a week later than the Catholic Western World Easter. And the headline in the paper on Good Friday was Pope Rebuffed.
The Pope's rebuffed because, of course, the decision has been made by the ruling elite, of course, and even the President of the United States certainly accedes to their request.
Okay, now.
And we're going to have to, just a moment, we'll be right back here. Okay, now we've got all the various stations on board with us. And, of course, we're talking about Javier Solana. Our guest is Constance Cumby, who is certainly, in my estimation, the world's expert on Javier Solana. Obviously, Google thinks the same thing, because if you look up there on Javier Solana's website, in other words, where they list all of the things about him, you'll find the name of Constance Cumby.
Well, I certainly excite in a number of the meta search engines, including one I was called Dogpile. And what's astounding is I don't even have a website. They're out there saying, are you looking for Javier Solana CV? Are you looking for Javier Solana bio? Are you looking for De Euro? Are you looking for Constance Cumby?
All right, fine. Anyway, go ahead and pick up the story.
Okay. Javier Solana was a nobody back in 1995 when I first discovered him. He was the foreign minister of Spain, and he was acting on a rotating six-month presidency that lots of people in the European Union have exercised with their every six-month dog and pony show. But he had something unusual. The two rotating presidencies of the WEU and the EU had coincided in the second half of 1995, and he took full advantage of it, and one of the things he did was negotiate a treaty with Israel on behalf of the European Union. The few days later, he chaired the Barcelona conference, which had three items on its agenda: battle religious fundamentalism worldwide. Number two was favorable trading terms for the European countries in the basin. And number three was get the USA out of the Mediterranean. Needless to say, all three aims were of interest to me. They said the United States had requested participant status and had been granted observer status only. And thanks to the advance of the Internet, and knowing how to use it proficiently, I too had observer status, albeit the poor man's way. I just calmly pulled down all the working papers and all the press releases and all the articles that appeared and digested it all. Solana achieved his treaty. He was all but called the Prince of Peace at that Barcelona conference, which he opened with an attack on the church. And the second day, November 28th, he had it all signed, sealed, and delivered, and it said he permitted no amendments. He ran it with an iron fist. And I sent emails to everybody I could think, and you may have received one too, Stan, and said, watch out for this guy. And 2 days later, my phone started ringing almost off the hook, and I was told, turn on your television quick. I turned on my television. There was Javier Solana, who had just been made the new head of NATO. I was dumbfounded. This was the man who had sent Spanish warships to Canada in March of 1995 in the Great Fishing Wars of that year. And the reason he was doing that was to help set up Barcelona, but nobody really knew that then. And I sent an email to the White House on December 1st, 1995, and said, please don't back Solana as the new head of NATO. I found out 52 congressmen had sent a telegram the same day and said, please don't back him. And I cited my concerns over his get the United States out of the Mediterranean stance. And about a month later, I came home and my husband said, you have a letter from the White House. Indeed, I did. It was a letter from President Clinton thanking me for expressing my opinion on that subject. But here's the interesting thing, Stan. The letter was sent to my house. I have never used my home address for one single piece of email. I've always used my business address here on Telegraph Road in Bloomfield Hills, and it came to our home in Lake Orion.
Do you have a feeling that Big Brother is watching you?
I had kind of a feeling on it that day.
They've got dossiers on every one of us. They've employed one company that's got something like 16 billion dossiers on 300 million people. They know everything about every one of us. And that's all being, of course, financed because, of course, we're fighting terrorism. That's what it's all about.
Exactly. But at any rate, I watched Solana very carefully, and he was like no other head of NATO. He advanced it eastward rapidly and was given unprecedented powers. And in 1996, Boris Yeltsin told the Russian people, you'd better vote for me. I'm the only one who can stand up to Solana. He didn't. And they signed the Treaty of Association. They said it was face-saving. I forgot to tell your listeners that when Solana was made the new head of NATO, nobody was more astonished than the Spanish press. They said if anybody had predicted that even 5 years earlier, they would have been locked up as a complete lunatic, that Javier Solana had been the leader of the Spanish opposition to NATO. He was the proud author of a pamphlet, 50 Reasons to Say No to NATO.
And he was also a hardline Marxist.
He was officially a Marxist until September 29th, 1979, but I have a picture of him giving the Marxist salute at a meeting in 1983. These were not his youthful years. These were his more mature years. He's a year and a half older than me. These were the same years I was out speaking on the topic of the New Age movement. And that's what he was out doing, speaking and rioting against NATO. And then, like St. Paul on the road to Damascus, he suddenly, quote, seen the light and changed positions and started swinging things in. And they cut a deal for Spain to half support it if they got an air base, some consideration, and they got the Torrejón Satellite Center, which they say is a jewel in the European crown. It's an incredibly sophisticated satellite center with spy capabilities, and they're running a European Magellan project out of it now and cooperating with the United States Echelon, a heavy cooperation. And they say the sophistication of that one is such that the average European could walk completely unaided through a subway even if he were completely blind. But that was 1995, 1996, and he continued to have his powers increased. In 1997, they bombed a Bosnian station in Sarajevo almost to the ground, and the reason was that he went to Wesley Clark and complained that the station was interfering with democracy because they were airing both sides of the news. And so that station was taken out, and then they said this was a warning to the others that they'd better support the war or they would meet the same fate.
I see. A real proponent of democracy. Now, that was a television station or a radio station?
It was television.
All right, fine.
He took out one in Belgrade a couple years later, too. That he continued to advance, and fast forward to 1999, I woke up with that migraine, and they were announcing that Javier Solana had been given, had made the announcement that the bombings of Yugoslavia might start that day. I checked the internet for references. Madeleine Albright announced in her homepage that Javier Solana has the power and has had it since January 30th, 1999. We are speaking with one voice through Javier Solana.
And so America is simply following the lead of
right.
these powerful
now,
people.
Now, I saw Spencer Abraham, who's the president, and I believe he's Secretary of Commerce or Commerce.
Transportation, isn't
Transportation.
He? Right.
And he was our United States Senator. He's been interviewed on my radio program in the past. I knew him well enough to talk to him. I saw him at a banquet a week after Easter. I asked him point blank, why did we hand Solana that power? And what he said astounded me. He said he couldn't understand the Yugoslavian policy himself. It made no sense to him. He said he thought perhaps it was Clinton hiding behind Solana. He said, you know, things like that happen in politics. Well, yes, I know they do, but I had the distinct impression on this one that Clinton was sucking up to Solana and not vice versa. And then Spencer Abraham said to me he had met Javier Solana personally, and I said, oh? He said he and all the other United States senators had been flown to Brussels to meet Javier Solana.
Well,
I bet you didn't hear about that one in the news.
No, Tom Brokaw and, of course, Dan Rather and haven't told us about that.
Nope, and they may not have even necessarily known about it. But when have you heard of all of our senators being put on a plane? Spencer Abraham was a junior senator, and he was one of those flown. According to him, and I don't think he would lie to me, every last one of them was flown there to meet Javier Solana.
All right, so then what happens? So
he's
pretty important by now. He's the head of NATO.
Right.
And
the bombings were very ruthless. We saw what happened to Yugoslavia. Everybody got the message. Solana left his job a little bit early to take a new post with the European Union. He wanted to be head of it. He didn't get the honor. It went to Prodi of Italy instead. And he then went to... He was given some consolation prizes. He was made Secretary General of the EU to, quote, give continuity in between administrations. He was made the Office of the High Representative of the Common Foreign and Security Policy to be the total czar of all European military and foreign policy. And he was to be given emergency police powers over Europe. And then 3 months later, he was handed another incredible post. He was handed... totally to the dismay of six Eastern European countries and some auxiliary members, he was handed total control of the Western European Union, the 10-nation military federation that spawned the EU and Western European Union, supposedly to merge it into his office with the European Union, but he still kept it alive because it's been a real bully little pulpit that he can always say he's head of that one, if nothing else.
All right, so there's a separate Western European Union, different than the European Union.
It is basically the Western European Union. 10 members have essentially weighted voting power anyway within the European Union, and those powers will be increased with the new constitution. And they're forming a new foreign minister post, which Joschka Fischer of Germany has been aspiring to, but it looks like he's not going to get it. It looks like Solana is going to get it. And they, not that Fischer wouldn't be bad enough, he was a member of the Bader-Meinhof gang, but Solana is a far smoother operator and with a far deeper anti-clerical agenda, far more of an enemy of what we stand for. And he attacked religion in the United States. The United States is being too religious, starting with this last January.
Well, maybe they could get rid of a lot of those troublemakers over here. We'll be back in just a few minutes with our special guest, of course, Constance Cumby. If you'd like to give us a call, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. And Constance is, as far as I'm concerned, certainly one of the few people I can really depend on. She's keeping an eye on how this whole European Union is coming together. It's very soon going to be the most powerful force in the world economically as they bring in 9 additional countries from Eastern Europe. And, of course, their purpose is to challenge America, and we're doing everything we can to help them. and What's Wrong with This Picture. We'll be right back.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and most people, a few people, have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, built from his mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Hello, this is health journalist Bill Sardi, and there's no better time to establish a biological response kit in your home. In an age when we hear about biological threats, more common are cases of E. coli in our food, cryptosporidium in our tap water, and staph germs, viruses, and molds in our air conditioning systems. Why be a sitting duck and run to the doctor after you've got a problem? Why not take something to stay healthy, like Alamex, the all-new 100% pure allicin garlic extract. You won't find Alamex in stores, but you'll find it by calling 866-405-4000. Alamex is equivalent to 15 cloves of fresh crushed garlic. And guess what? It's odor-free. Call 866-405-4000.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I need to remind you that we carry something called the Big Berkey Water Filter, and of course the Berkey Light Water Filters. And of course, in times like this, it's nice to have a means by which you can be sure that you'll have adequate drinking water. And of course, the Big Berkey is what the missionaries have used for 150 years. It's stainless steel. It's attractive. It's got ceramic filters that are packed full of activated carbon, and it filters the water. It filters out the bacteria. It filters out certainly harmful chemicals and some of the heavy metals. They're great water filters for general purpose use. They're portable. You can keep them in your home. You can keep them any place. And of course, it will give you potable water from rivers and ponds and lakes. And of course, just as I say, what the missionaries have used. So you really would want to get something. Some people get them simply because they don't like the taste of the water. Other people get them because they want to get the fluoride out. You have to get a special post filter to do that. That'll take the fluoride out so you don't poison your children. But if you'd like to get the Big Berkey water filter, ordinarily they're $279. We sell them for $239. And if you buy them from us, you'll get a 4-tape set or a video that we produce. So give us a call at 1-800-5-448-927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, the Big Berkeys are not available in either California or Iowa. And so if you'd like to get a filter that you can have here on the West Coast, why, of course, that's called the Berkey Light. And this has an amazing filter. It's really much more efficient than the other filters, but they have to be replaced every couple of years. And, of course, they'll take out even MTBE. However, they will not take out fluoride, but you can get special post filters to do that for you. They're called the Black Berkey filters. The Berkey Light, of course, is made of lucite. It's transparent. You can see the water levels. They work great. And they're $199, $199.95. And, of course, we make the same offer. You can get, of course, a 4-tape set of video if you buy it through us. Go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's www.radioliberty.com, or call 1-800-544-8927. Well, Dr. Stam here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest today is Constance Cumby, and we're talking about Javier Solana. We've got Bart on the line right now. Hi, Bart, did you have a question or comment?
Yes, I have a question. Thank you so much, and Mrs. Cumby, thank you for all you do. My question is this. From everything I've been able to learn, it is obvious that Europe, the whole of Europe, is being turned into a totalitarian nightmare by anybody's standards. And these people are not dumb. I have really two questions. My first question is, do you see any resistance forming among the general population there against this this Orwellian nightmare that is unfolding upon them? And here in our own country, do you feel that there are any godly people left in Congress and the Senate, aside from possibly Ron Paul, who are aware of what's going on and care enough to actually stand up to it, and I'll take my answer on the air. Thank
you. All right. Thank you so much, Bart. And, of course, the question then, did you get the question?
Yes, I did. Okay, number one, is there any resistance developing in Europe itself? Most notably, the resistance that I have learned about, and it's been quite vocal, has come from the Brits. There's two groups of people in Great Britain. There's your Euro-centered people, your Eurocrats, like Tony Blair would represent one of those, and then there's the Euroskeptics. And the Euroskeptics are referred to very often and very derisively by the other forces and the European Union forces, but there have been many wonderful things that have come from the pens of the Euroskeptics, some of them even British socialists, outlining very graphically the dangers of it. For example, John Boyd, who is the secretary of one of the political parties over there, wrote in the English Register that it pointed out very succinctly the very clear parallels between Javier Solana and his movement and the way Hitler had advanced. In the United States, what is developing, we've had an awful lot of apathy here. I've tried my best to educate folks here in my backyard in the metropolitan Detroit area, and he'll have some pockets of resistance here, I'm happy to tell you. But most Americans just, quite frankly, have not heard his name. There were 52 congressmen that sent a telegram, and probably they've been neutralized by Solana saying he's going to come down hard on Castro. Of course, the reason he's coming down hard on Castro was because in 1999, Castro wrote a very delicious piece about Solana and called him just plain cruel and laughed about the ludicrity of the American generals taking orders from this man, who was a former minister of culture, and saying he had met him himself, that he was polite enough, and he had said some favorable things about the Pope in the same interview, and I suspect that Solana's had it in for him ever since then, because before then he was... these 52 congressmen were boycotting because he was anti... he was pro-Castro, so I suspect that probably little maneuver has taken them in. And then Richard Lugar from the Senate Foreign Relations Committee acts like he's absolutely mesmerized to the point of hypnosis by Solana, as was Sam Nunn. He works both sides of the aisle very, very effectively.
Well, I think, of course, our leaders really are playing both sides. First of all, they've been backing the European Union and encouraging the European Union and doing everything they could, of course, to build up this tremendous power block against America. But then, of course, their effort here is to tear down our borders, to create a united Western Hemisphere from Tierra del Fuego to the tip of the Aleutians. And then, of course, after we have a free trade zone, then, of course, we'll have a common currency, then we'll have a common government.
There's a word for this. It's called integration, and Solana uses it profusely. He's built alliances with all the Latin American countries and countries around us on that one. And basically, and then he's been playing another little political trick called triangulation, and to maneuver us. And there are a couple of real frightening developments, if I can share them.
All right, Tom, you can get started. We're going to have to take a break.
Go ahead. Solana gave himself proposed for himself powers over Europe with Assembly Recommendation 666. And he did this on June 20th.
666, see, that's a coincidence, isn't it?
Yeah, isn't that funny? I don't know an adult alive that doesn't know the symbolism on that one. And he proposed it, dictatorial powers for himself, and it's posted out there on the Internet if anybody wants to look it up. It's Assembly Recommendation, or Recommendation 666. And the Herb Peters runs a website, too, and has a copy of it posted. His website's called FulfilledProphecy.com. If anybody wants to take a look at that, it's well worth the looking. He's done some good research, and we've collaborated not just a little bit on some of this. Then it's been proposed by the major think tanks that he immediately be given powers over Iraq.
Well, we're going to have to take a break here. When we get back, we'll proceed along here. So they want to give Javier power over Iraq. And, of course, you're not hearing about it here in America because, of course, the people who know most about what's going on in the world do not live here. They live in Europe, every other country in the world.
another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen or what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America. Our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and you may feel that, oh, this could not happen. If you go up on the FEMA website, you'll find out that they're setting up a relocation camps here in America in case, of course, of terrorist attacks or some sort of a breakdown of society. But this has been a plan for a long time. We have a wonderful four-tape set on concentration camps. We have, of course, a number of videos that go into this. If you haven't seen the amazing clips, you need to see them. You'll, of course, you won't like what you see, but don't get angry with me. Get angry with the people who talk about you don't have to be a Christian to get into heaven. And of course, that people talk about the fact there is a plan. Congressman Gonzalez, you'll hear him talking about there is a plan in case of a national emergency, and especially terrorism, to arrest American citizens and put them in concentration camps. You'll see pictures of the camps and the amazing clips, and of course, America Behind Barbed Wire videos. But why don't you give us a call of 1-800-544-8927. Order the four-tape set on concentration camps. Ask for the, and we'll send it to you free, although we hope you'll want to get the tape set. But are you going to ask for the Church Committee reports? Church of Charles Mathias, both United States Senators, back in 1973 came out with a report talking about the emergency orders that are already in place to allow a suspension of the Constitution and the declaration of a dictatorship. People say it couldn't happen here. Well, get these items, or of course get our concentration camp special, and help us get the truth out across America. You have our permission to copy anything we have, and of course get it disseminated, because of course if the American people don't understand what's happening, why of course we will certainly lose our freedom. And the fact that the fourth estate, the media in America, has become a fifth column. And, of course, there are actually people planted there. And if you don't believe that, read General Odom's new book, Fixing Intelligence. He was the director of the CIA, and he talks about the... Well, Dr. Stan here, and I was just talking to our listeners at least locally here, telling them about General Odom's book. General Odom was the director of the NSA, not the CIA. He was the director of the NSA, and his new book, Fixing Intelligence, is a long, tedious book. But, of course, there's several important things in there where he talks about how he questions whether the CIA should have their people planted as journalists in the United States or control journalists in the United States. What's the CIA doing with journalists here in the United States, controlling what the American people think? Well, they've done it for 50 years. We shouldn't be surprised. But here's the former director of the NSA talking about it in two places in his book. If you want the page references, we can get them for you. But, of course, the tragedy is the American people are the least informed people in the world. And the trouble is they think they're the best informed. We have freedom of the press. No, freedom of the press is not the ability to print of the truth. It's the ability to conceal the truth from the American people. And, of course, the people who have the freedom are the people who own, of course, the press. That's why I do what I do 5 hours a day, buying time on radio stations across America, trying to make the American people realize what's going on. Well, our guest today is Constance Cumby, and she's talking about, of course, we were talking about, is there any resistance in Europe? There really is very little resistance other than Great Britain. Is there any resistance to this globalist movement in the United States? And she
very little effective resistance and very little understanding truly understanding resistance, and it basically it's an education process, as I guess was getting the word out on the New Age movement. Speaking of the concentration camps, there was a very frightening provision to Assembly Recommendation, or Recommendation 666, which was the bill number that Solana proposed these powers for himself under. And paragraph 15 dealt with CIMICS. It stands for Civilian Military Cooperation. Is when you feel cooperate, you feel enjoy. And it was basically, I did some research on what they meant by CIMIC, and he was the primary author of that tactic, too. And it basically, the premise is that the civilians should be subordinate to the military, and they should work together in peace crises, peacetime and wartime. Well, what's left? Everything. Nothing's left. That's everything. And I frankly have not met too many military people that didn't think that was a capital idea. It's very seductive and appealing to military folks. And they had all these little high-tech glossy print tactics for luring a civilian population to sleep, for example. Call off your militia and we'll put a new roof on your hospital. And little public relations projects. And Tom Ridge of our Homeland Security has been meeting repeatedly with Solana, and I just shudder when I think about CIMIC and the Homeland Security techniques merging and blending and coming together. Now, the Iraq thing, that was proposed by, it was proposed at a seminar in Europe. It was a Geneva study for, Geneva Institute for Policy Studies, and it was your big American foundations in as partners on this thing. And the writer who reported it and was syndicated and leaked the word out to the rest of the world was David Ignatius from the Washington Post. And the Washington Post had appeared in first, and then the Singapore, the Straits Times from Singapore, and Al Jazeera, and Lebanese papers, and all over the world. And basically it had lots of dissemination everywhere, but probably here in the United States, not that many people read it in the Washington Post. And he said he had been taken aside, and this was what the necessity was. We should let France do the much of the rebuilding in Iraq, and we should invite the European Union in to keep order and restore order and provide the soft power that we couldn't provide, and let them use their 60,000-man new army over there. And the logical person to head that operation is Javier Solana. And he's basically, it looks like he's going to take it. He said they had to do this immediately before things got worse.
I know.
And if those folks were talking about a stand, it's a done deal.
And how recently were they talking about this?
Last sat when I came home from doing my radio program and went on the Internet at 3 o'clock in the morning, our time, which would have been midnight your time. It had been posted within 10 minutes.
Now, how long ago was that?
That was last weekend, last Saturday, July 4th.
All right, so basically...
July 5th.
They're basically, right now, things are chaotic.
Right now.
There.
Now, Solana is going to Europe this week for the Progressive Governance Commission, which is basically his little international support group, and he's going to present his plans for a new world order.
A new world
that's on the table this week, yes. And basically, remember all the problems that the EU and the United States were having and all the misunderstanding over Iraq? Well, Solana was drafted to draw something up to end those confusions, and he came up with a plan that everybody said was brilliant and that would achieve peace between the United States and Europe. And he proposed a new world order in that very strongly. And it was given lots of accolades. Then he came to the United States with Tsimikas, the president of Greece, who had the six-month presidency, and one other person, and they had the EU-United States summit, and they negotiated extensive treaties between the United States and Europe that basically gave each other power to extradite people for violation of the laws of the two respective countries of the European Union of the United States.
And I think it's really so interesting that Sandra Day O'Connor made her decision on legalizing homosexuality, depending not on our Constitution, but on the laws of the European Union and
that
the United Nations.
Really, that is extremely fascinating. I have not yet read that opinion, but it was the same week that Canada said they would legalize gay marriage. and lots of things happened all over the world. There was just a wonderful piece on the internet, if people are inclined to go look for it, by Mary Jo Anderson, called The Dark Side of the European Union. I had the privilege of briefing her on this, and she really followed up on it and has done her homework, and there's just a brilliant piece over there, and she talks about persecution coming, and these countries that have standards against abortion and religious standards are going to be forced to conform to European Union laws that prohibit what they call that type of discrimination. That's a crime in Europe, to call homosexuality a sin.
And now, of course, Constance, how would you feel about an organized effort here in the United States to impeach any Supreme Court justice who swore to uphold our Constitution and yet, of course, makes their decisions not on our Constitution but upon European law and United Nations law?
Well, I'm enough of a realist to know that probably it wouldn't. I don't know if there is. Is there a procedure for impeaching a Supreme Court justice?
Oh, yeah,
they
sure.
have about the best life, short of videotapes of themselves performing immorality in the middle of the street with an underage person. There's not very much that could remove them.
Well, I think that they can be impeached just like the president if he has done something improper and, of course, has violated, you know, the standards.
Yeah,
they have sworn to uphold the Constitution, and, of course, they don't believe in the Constitution. They have a higher authority.
Well, they are the Constitution.
I see. Well,
that's how they see it.
I see. Well,
they are the Constitution. The Constitution is what the Supreme Court says it is. That's how they view the world.
And, of course, this is how freedom is lost when, of course, the good people allow this to go. Well, we've got Fred calling here from Salinas. Hi, Fred. Thanks for staying with us. Did you have a question or comment?
Yes, I had a couple of quick questions. I wanted to ask your guest, you know, one of the best mediums that's changed around the world has always been the greenback, and I was wondering when they're starting to change the colors in our greenback. Is that the start of a conditioning process?
Well, people used to laugh and say they weren't worried about this with the Solana in Europe because the euro was so weak in comparison to the dollar. Now the euro is worth $1.20 into our dollar, one of our dollars. So it takes $1.20 to buy a single euro.
What I was wondering, you know, they're just starting to issue now the new $20 bill will have colors in it, like, you know, most of the rest of the world is a colored bill.
I think, Fred, I believe, and I may be mistaken, but I really believe this is a prelude to a two-tiered dollar system. There will be the dollars that circulate here, the dollars that circulate overseas, and, of course, we will not be allowed to take more than a few dollars out of this country in the name of course, fighting terrorism.
Well, that's another thing that's taking place right now. Biometric indicators are going, the European Union is requiring biometric indicators on their passports in the form of a small microchip. But what was so interesting to me was they said they were doing this to comply with the United States requirements that this be done. And it's hard to say which came first, the chicken or the egg. Spain was the first country to make microchipping animals mandatory. And they said it was part of a plan that was first national, referring to Spain, then regional, referring to the European Union, and then would be global. So it's hard to say which one proposed it. Interestingly enough, most of the chips being used are manufactured in Spain.
Uh-huh.
But the European Union said they were doing it to conform to United States required policy post 9/11. And Finland announced they were doing it bowing to United States government pressures when they didn't want to do it. And they were requiring the microchips on their passports. And, of course, I think that's a prelude to what they're doing to the animals in Spain.
And I think it's going to happen here. The people are going to be forced to do it.
Right.
And
well, I made up my mind I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to, if I don't travel out of this country anymore, I am not going to take those biometric indicators. I'm going to conscientious objector out just as long as I possibly can, and then I'm going to boogie out.
I think they have some places for you in this country. FEMA is preparing them. Anything else, Fred?
Yes, I want to ask her one last question. I was watching special orders speeches on the floor of the representatives a couple nights ago, and they were Democrats were talking about this this thing in Iraq, and there has been a group of NSA people that have that have left the NSA, and now there's a group of them that has formed a consortium to try and explain the the lack of knowledge that that our
well, you know, my personal opinion on that is that
war.
I think that I doubt very much if they had weapons of mass destruction, for the reason that he spent so much, Saddam Hussein spent so much money building castles, he didn't want to waste it on anything else.
Well,
I think
always
it was
figured,
a big bluff.
I always figured that in that 91 war when we was
but that set us up for what the rest of the world is just about ready to call us, and to and it's going to be the excuse for Europe to give Javier Solana the rest of the power he's seeking, and he's seeking to be the consolidating voice for that. The United States is a war criminal, and only by Europe unifying and handing their power to Solana do they have any hope of standing up to us.
Fred, we're going to have to go because we've got
a
full
day.
Board. Bye-bye. And let's go to Marilyn calling from Sacramento. Hi, Marilyn.
Well, hi. Nice to speak again. I want to ask your guest and you, Dr. Stan, do you think there's any strange coincidence that the Muslim world is anti-abortion and anti-homosexual, and that it they had some vote a couple of years or so ago, I think, where the Muslim world in the UN, the Muslim world voted down proposals that would legalize.
Right.
And now, look, here we are going to war in some ridiculously contrived excuses that they keep thinking about.
That's an excellent question, if I could respond.
You go right ahead.
Okay. The goal of the New Agers have always been to pit the Jews, Christians, and Muslims off against each other, to have us fight holy wars against each other, and that they wouldn't have to worry about the Old Agers, that the Old Agers would go on to defeat each other in a massive mutual vetting of long pent-up aggression. The Muslims had made, obviously, the easiest target because of the extremists in their number. And they, but they're, what they, when they are writing and what they are addressing, including Javier Solana, is that all fundamentalisms have to be addressed, all fundamentalisms have to be battled. They're starting with them. Any precedents used against them can easily be used against us.
And of course,
and they do hate them because of the population reduction, and they're angry at the Pope because of some alliances that they built on canceling out some of the agenda that these folks had on drastic population reduction.
And of course, if you read the Global Biodiversity Assessment, we've summarized it in our Sustainable Development syllabus, they say that Christians, Jews, and Muslims are responsible for all the problems, ecological problems in the world today, and the inferences they're going to have to go. I think Constance is absolutely right. Anything else, Marilyn?
Well, no, I just want to make the point that I think that it seems to me that we have declared war on the Muslim world.
Sure we have. And
because they're a devil thing, but because they do not except homosexuality nor abortion.
Well, that isn't really the whole thing, is that they hate all people who believe in a God. And
but they're starting with them, and then they hope to pit us against them. I've always been suspicious when I heard anybody who's too anything, too anti-anything, because I remember that strategy that we're going to battle each other, and they're going to be the phoenix to arise from the ashes.
Okay, thanks so much, Marilyn. Let's go to Ben from Salinas. Ben, we're almost out of time. A question or comment?
You made a reference to the camps being prepared by FEMA, and I've learned that these are called Camp Rex, which means in Latin, the camp of the king, and this is actually the concentration camps the New World Order is planning for us. My question for your guest is, do we as citizens have the right, as I believe, to exist as non-coms, which means non-computerized beings outside of their world of biometric indicators and tattooing our children to where they can literally trace you down and kill you in your home because you don't buy into this New World Fourth Reich? Do we have a chance of existing outside of this world?
I have no intention, whether I live or whether I die, I have no intention of buying into that one. I am using computers as long as I can, because if they're going to communicate with fax machines and computers, I don't want to use tom-toms and carrier pigeons.
There you go.
But I do need to be on there long to know what's going on. But
then
if they want you to take an implant, which they're seriously proposing right now, or even these biometric chips, because once that's done,
it's over.
Can never go anywhere in privacy again. You are indelibly marked for life.
But remember, Constance, that's done for your protection. You might be kidnapped by some terrorists, and they're there to help you. Don't you understand?
Religious extremism, I can understand. I can't deal with the technocrats.
Okay, Ben, we're going to have to go. God bless you.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks so much for calling. And of course, Constance, we just got time for you to make a couple of closing remarks.
Things are happening, Stan, very, very, very fast, and it's accelerating. And I think that what they're worried about is opposition in the United States. Javier Solana said in June 2000 that, most importantly, voices in the USA have started to speak out against us. They're terribly worried about that. There's almost been a news blackout in the United States when he's come here. He's kind of ducked the press, and he's kind of hidden behind the camera, sometimes even covering his face visibly on C-SPAN presentations. He's terribly worried about criticism, and he's terribly worried that he's getting old. He turns 61 next week, and things are just coming to a head in a big hurry, and I think they're accelerating this, and I would look for some tremendous things to happen there. This Commission on Global Governance is not slowing down. It was put together under the Clinton administration, but the Bush administration has in many ways, unfortunately, played into their hands.
Well, of course, it's not simply coincidence that this tremendous increase of power for Javier is, comes with the number 666. Just like, of course, they hide everything in plain sight, the back of the dollar bill. They understand. They think we're too dumb to realize it. God bless you, Constance. Hope we can get you onto our other programs in the near future.
I would love that, Stan. Bye-bye. Thanks very much.
Bye-bye. Bye. Thank you so much. Well, our guest has been Constance Cumby, and we'll be back here in just a minute to wrap up this program. But you must understand, we're involved in the spiritual battle being fought on a political, ideological, and cultural battlefield.
Another of our fascinating four tape sets is entitled Concentration Camps, and it's four interviews with people talking about the move to establish concentration camps in the United States. Now, most people say that's foolish talk. We couldn't have that. And yet, if you listen to these tapes, you'll find out that those camps are a reality. They are being set up in case of civil disturbance. And, of course, the authority for the establishment of the concentration camps comes from the executive orders, which were actually put through during the time of the Reagan administration. For documentation of the location and the background to the formation of these camps, their establishment, and what may very well happen, what they may be used for in the future, I suggest you call our 800 number, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for America, our values, our future, our under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we want to tell you about some of the other items we carry here. Of course, we carry the Miracle 2 soap products and Miracle 2 soap. Certainly, we can't make any claims for it, medicinal claims, but we will tell you an awful lot of the people who have used this will tell you the most amazing, amazing stories. There's a soap, there's a moisturizing soap, there's a lotion and gel, and then there's a neutralizing solution, a very alkaline, mineralized solution. And, of course, some people seem to think that it helps their epigastric distress, their heartburn. I know my wife has used it, and I certainly got off some of these pills at $3 or $4 a day. But I wouldn't mind putting out the money if it makes her feel better, but she seems to do fine just with a neutralizer, and other people have said that. But you're going to have to try, because we can't make any claims for this because, of course, of government regulations. If you'd like to know more about Miracle 2 soap products or get an introductory supply, call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. And then, of course, we hope that many of you out there will want to think about getting a Phenopoly set. And Phenopoly is a wonderful means of teaching your children or your grandchildren or even yourself how to read phonetically, how to spell phonetically, how to pronounce words phonetically. It really is the key. You'll learn the 40 sounds of the English language, the 12 rules of the English language, and you'll know more than most college professors. And I've had people 50, 60 years old tell me how much they've learned playing this on their own, playing it on for themselves. The most important thing you can do for your children, your grandchildren, is teach them to read phonetically, because they're deliberately dumbing them down in our universities. Now, this is 5 board games, 2 bonus games, and we throw in a couple of books. $139.95, not $500 or $600, like most of these programs. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. It's called Phonopoly. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course, we hope that many of you out there across America will want to get our material on concentration camps, the four-tape set, the videos, the amazing clips, America Behind Barbed Wire. If you'd like a free copy of the 1973 report, you can call. We'll be glad to send it to you free of charge. Of course, we hope that you'll get our other things because we need your support so we can continue doing what we're doing and gradually expanding our coverage across America. Now on about 57 stations across America. I can remember when we were on one. But of course, we rely upon those of you out there who believe in what we're doing and will stand with us. So if you'd like to, of course, to get the information on concentration camps, either the four-tape set or, of course, the concentration camp special, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. If you'd like, of course, to get simply that Senate report 1973 over the names of Charles Mathias and Frank Church, two United States senators, talking about the emergency powers and the ability to establish a concentration camp in America. Why, of course, we'll send that to you free of charge. Or if you get the concentration camp special, you can get that. And we want you to copy it and get it to other people. The American people have been put to sleep. Their minds have been brought under control, because the fourth estate has become a fifth column. And those of you who, of course, have not tried Alamax, let me recommend it. It's a garlic product. And, of course, garlic has so many wonderful medicinal properties. But you can learn about Alamax, which is a garlic product, by calling 866-405-4000. That's 866-405-4000. If you want to know what you can do, you can set up an Institute of the Constitution and begin to teach people about our Constitution and why the Supreme Court justices who voted in favor of this latest atrocity should be impeached. Call 410-760-9068, 410-760-9068, and ask for information on the Institute of the Constitution. And then, of course, we hope that some of you out there will be concerned about the skyrocketing cost of health care insurance and want to get involved in a Christian sharing program. And you can do that, and you can save $2,000 to $6,000 a year in your health care costs. Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR and ask about MediShare, a Christian health care sharing program. Now, we hope many of you will go to our website at RadioLiberty.com, and you can see the pictures of the various Berkey water filters there. And if you'd like more information about them, the Berkey water filters, go to Radio Liberty, www.RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. And if you buy those through us, of course, you'll get a four-tape set and or a free video, one of those we produced, and that, again, RadioLiberty.com. You can pull down our newsletters. You can listen to our programs there. And we hope that you'll tell other people about our radio programs. We hope that you'll tell them about the website and get them started. And you'd be amazed at how many people listen 2, 3, 4, even 5 hours a day to the archives, to the programs that are available there, as we try to bring the information, the news behind the news, the story behind the story, the information that the media has played so much not to reveal to the American people, but to conceal from the American people, which is why most Americans have never heard of Javier Solana. And, of course, there is no way the American people are going to remain free unless they have access to the truth. They have access to the news that they're not getting through regular channels. Well, this is the time, of course, we simply ask you to pray for America. We ask you to pray for revival in America, because if the American people don't turn back to God, do you honestly think that God will ever bless this country again? How do you think he feels about the latest Supreme Court decisions and the flaunting of his law? How do you feel? Think he feels about the fact that the church has refused to take a stand on any moral issue, says go along with whatever the corrupt and evil people who control the government are doing, because that's what God wants you to do? And I don't believe that at all. I think he means for us to be involved. So pray for America, but please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Till tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.